on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. This week's episode is in partnership with the Defiant Sounds Promotion, a new musical promotion in Dublin, founded by Aaron Shaw, aka Oakley. Defiant Sounds opening night will take place in the Racket Space on the 29th of September, following the Sligo Rovers game at home. Aaron Shaw, Shawzy is running the promotion. Hoping to see familiar faces from Bowles down there after the game. DJs on the night are himself, well-known DJ Mango, and Pusher will be headlining the night down there. It will be open, doors open at 11 o'clock. Tickets are only a fiver. So if anyone wants to be in to have a few, have a bop post-game after your few checks and daily milk, make sure to head down to the Bernard Shaw. Tickets only a fiver. And again, Oakley DJing, Mango DJing, and Pusher DJing. Finishing, I think, around 3 o'clock in the morning. So, looking forward to a good night down there. I hope to see a few familiar faces. So, buy a ticket. The link is in the app. And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Pop. After a few weeks hiatus from drink, drugs and rock and roll, we are now back. And thankfully, still in the FAI Cup following Friday's win against Trotter. We are delighted to be joined by two former guests, two Stones Bohemians, Luke Sinnott and Pete Sinnott, two brothers. That's how he's getting on.
People are going to start thinking I enjoy doing this kind of stuff, you know what I mean? But the excuses I heard today, my God.
Pete's done more podcasts than he has been to games this season.
Yeah, lads going to the cinema with their birds. Oh, lads are fixing their cars. Some of the excuses, absolutely shocking, but they roll on anyway.
I suppose we'll just touch slightly on the off-field things that have happened the last couple of months, over the last 6 weeks today. I suppose was the terribly sad passing of both Joe Carr and Ian. Joe to being known as halftime raffle Joe when you came out through the turnstiles and out towards Daily Mount Park. You know, his voice of being synonymous with Daily Mount. It's terribly sad to see him pass, and someone who's such a staunch volunteer of years of hourless paidless work that he's done for Bohemians. And as well, of course, of the MVP's Dean Merton, who's been going to games for as not longer than I am. As you probably remember him when he was younger going to games. I know from going to buses probably in the early 10s. And, you know, it's just being one of those people who are standing beside us in the terrace every week that you would have said hello to walking by.
Yeah, two absolutely staunch balls, man. Very sad. Dean was one of the coolest looking fellas you'll ever see. And a terrible shame. But he got a lovely send off and a great turnout for the funeral. So rest in peace, lads.
And I suppose, lads, we'll touch on now and we'll move on to the most important thing that happened today. 12:30 today, there was a lot of adults nervous, excited, giddy around Dublin 7 and beyond for what was the cup draw. Of course, you had told us back in June that you'd end up in a semi-final away from the first division team, regardless if it was Galway or not. You would have bit your Mickey off. But it's Galway away. They've played 15 games at home. They've won all 15, conceding four goals in the 15 games. Will be a tough task, but what just make the draw first and foremost?
It's going to be a tough game, but like, they've won 15 games. The standard in the first division is dreadful. Like I think, right, they beat UCD and Bangor in the first two rounds. I think they caught Dundalk cold. I think, like, they're going to be physical. They're John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan, like, they're going to be like lump balls in on top. Because I think if you weather the storm for the first half hour, it'd be similar enough to last Friday where our quality was showing through. But I'd fancy us to beat them. Definitely fancy us to beat them.
Yeah, it's kind of the draw we've been calling out for the last couple of years. And ironically, the one time we probably don't want to go there is the time the name comes out of the hat. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it, but you'd have to be confident. As I said, it's a first division team. It's going to be tough. And I suppose they play in a way that probably doesn't suit our two boys at the back. They're very direct. They get the ball up, back to front quick. They'll bang long balls in at every opportunity. They'll whip corners in, they'll whip free kick in on top of us. So Talbot will have to be on his game, and the two Polish boys will want to toughen up in the next couple of weeks, because it's going to be a serious 90 minutes for those two boys.
If you look at the goals they scored against Dundalk, it's pathetic from Dundalk, the defending is. Yeah. Like, two lump into the ball, one was a penalty, but some of the defending, I think if we just defend right, I thought like The two Polish lads are definitely worried, but I think we'll have too much of them. I honestly do. Like, if you can't beat a first division team in a semi final, forget about ever winning the cup. We'll never get a better chance to get
Absolutely.
To a cup final, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
We owe John Caulfield one from a semi final as well. So.
Yeah. We'll travel in expectation and. As you said, Gerardo, earlier, if you had said at the start of the competition we'd be in a semi-final against a first division team, you would have snapped your hand off of that. So on we go. We'll march on to Galway anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm even looking at the highlights, as Luke sort of touched on there, of the game with Galway against Dock. Some of the goalkeeping by Nate Jeppard from across, I think the second goal was
he headed
it down with no pace, like it just rolled into the net. That looked really poor, and you know, that could have been us going to Oriel, which has been a much grimmer and probably a haunting task than it would be going down to Terryland.
Could be a blessing in disguise, that Dundalk game for us. Like, they obviously caught Dundalk cold, so Bowes would be looking at that saying, now listen, they're going to start well, so just don't fucking let it, don't concede early. Whatever we do, don't concede a poxy goal. Dundalk conceded a poxy goal after 8 minutes. I think it was Daryl Horgan actually gave the ball away on the edge of his box, but yeah, look, I just think once you get through, once you weather, they're going to come out at us. Once you weather a bit of a storm, be similar enough like Friday, our quality will shine through. I think we'll beat them.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think it would more. I think Galway had the ball in the back of the net six times in the first half, two goals disallowed. So, also show how bad Dundalk really were on the day.
We're still all scarred from Galway from all those years back. Like, we don't have a great record in Galway.
Jesus,
they knocked us out of the league cup under Long, didn't they?
Fucking grim.
Yeah, they beat us twice in a week. The last time we went down there in the cup, we won, funnily enough, under Long. And then we did another horrible game down there. And was it Easter Sunday? 2016, I think it was a nil-all draw. Sunday afternoon game. I can't remember us winning too many times down in Galway.
We got beat 5-3 in that mad game.
Yeah, they beat us twice in a week. Remember, they beat us in the League Cup on the Monday, and then they beat us in the league on the Friday.
That's right, yeah, I remember that, yeah. I remember the tennis ban, that was the end of the tennis ban.
That was it, yeah, we started off the league on fire that year. Well, no, it's a great tie, like, I mean, even the time of the tie, it's a Saturday afternoon game, it's something we don't often have. You can do a day return on the train, you can stay overnight. It just feels a little bit different because of the timing of it. I mean, all our games are Friday night, and we know Friday night's a great time for a game, but what's special about an afternoon game, being able to get the train down and train home that evening. And obviously, if we win, it's going to be a delightful journey home.
Should
so,
be absolutely buzzing for it, but I'm a fucking my anxiety is through the fucking roof thinking about it. Like, fucking hell.
I've said the last few weeks, the lads, probably the last year or two, expectations have gone up. You know, our lust for winning stuff was wanted more. And I think I remember saying, I actually don't fucking enjoy any of this. Like, yeah. I remember we were shite, there was no expectation, and you know, we were staying up relatively comfortably most years, but you knew you weren't going to win the cup, you knew you weren't going to win the league. They're just, you know, you're enjoying your just days out, and whatever win was a bonus. And they're a lot more enjoyable than the African challenging for stuff.
I was only thinking
the Cork semi final was very enjoyable, like, you know, and obviously came out the wrong side of it, but the build up to, as you said, we were kind of going in more on hope than expectation, where, like, if we don't win in Galway, it's going to be a disaster.
I was only thinking to myself today, it'd be brilliant, right? So just, we knocked Chelsea out, that's revenge for last year. Right, if we knock Galway out, that'd be revenge for fucking Cork beating us in the semi under Caulfield. Then we beat Pats in the final, that's revenge for 2 years ago. It'd be fucking brilliant. So that was only thinking about that today. That,
yeah.
Could be the perfect cup run.
Yeah.
God willing.
They're out of our line. The next problem is just going to be the ticket scramble as well. No word on how many tickets we're going to get, but you can guarantee they'll fly off the shelves like hot cake.
There won't be much more than 400 odds, if even. This is where Rotwell's matrix system should really come into place, or a point system, as they do in the UK. Do you think we're actually far off this situation, given the growth of Bohemians away sport and the lack of quality facilities in the league?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, I suppose the amount of work that would have to go into maybe formulating something like that, and maybe, I don't know whether the software required, but I suppose you'd probably be along the lines of previous sales records and different release dates. So we're probably heading in that direction eventually, but the whole idea of just a scramble, everyone goes online at the same time, and with the volume of members we have for, say, 400 tickets, the fact that, you know, someone that has been to to one away game all season is in the same scramble as someone that mightn't have been to an away game
like
all season. Been to Galway more times than you've had hot dinners, pal. So the scramble will be mega. It will be intense. So
there's probably 1,500 Bowls fans looking for tickets.
What's the max? 430, I think, is the max we're going to get, is it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think Dundalk got. I think Dundalk got 330.
Yeah,
the man probably wasn't there.
Would Galway pull a stroke and probably try overfill it to give us a few more, give us 500 or something? Like, could they do that? Like, would they? They're gonna sell their allocation anyway, so it won't make a difference, will it?
Yeah, maybe Jamie will get on to Johnny Ward. He might be able to secure an extra 100 or so.
You and Kenny was in the Fibs for a house with us, so we can give him a show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've contacts with the Galway Mafia.
Yeah, but I'd say there'd be a few Bohemian ports and home tickets in advance anyway, if possible. Yeah. But I suppose we'll get on to what led us to this game. And that was, of course, Trotter, but just slightly touching on the Rovers disaster. I find it very much doomsday. I don't know if this is an influx of, you know, the new fans, and a lot of them are sort of Premier League orientated, and, you know, British media, you know, one loss, it's doomsday, it's the end of the world. Personally, I thought that Rovers result was coming. They played us off the park the last 2 or 3 years. We just cannot lay a glove on them, whatever's going on.
I don't know. It was the one time I was going up there, and because I watched that they played Dundalk the week before, and I fucking stupidly, naively, I had in my head, oh, we're going to get something here. But geez, what we fucking seen that night was absolutely, it was embarrassing. It was the worst we've played in a derby in a very long time. Maybe since they beat us 4-0 in Daily Mount, was how long is that? 7 or 8 years ago?
Yeah, it was a good hiding, all right.
I thought it was dreadful. Like, we're a much better side than what we showed up there. Like,
it was men against boys. Yeah, penalty could have changed the game, but, you know, no point in whinging about it at this stage. It was a tough one to take, but we move on. At least we got the point off them in Daily Mount to avoid the whitewash. Thank God for small mercies there, but we need to start picking up points against them, you know, and we need to start beating them again because it's not good.
What was the last time we scored up there?
Tierney, was it in the COVID year?
Well, pre-COVID, was it? When they had two men sent off, was it? We didn't go up there last year, I don't think.
I think Bort scored.
Tierney got a header.
Oh, Bort scored during COVID. There's no away fans up there.
That's right, yeah. Jesus, it's a fucking long time ago now.
Tierney got a header during COVID as well, you're right.
Yeah.
It beat us 2-1.
2-1, yeah. The back post. We played well, yeah. Like it.
We watched that on Greg's camper van or something, didn't we?
Yeah.
Up the mountains.
The last couple of years, we've actually played well in Tala, but we even stopped playing well in Tala, but I think we'll just leave that as is. No point.
The two Polish lads really struggled up there like that.
Yeah.
Every time they played against Gaffney, like, he's bullied them. I think it could be similar against Galway. I think they're centre forward. Stephen Murphy or something, is that his name?
Hurley, is it? Stephen Hurley?
Like the fella Stephen Murphy, I think is that his name, is scores. But he's going to be similar enough to Gaffney, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only worry. That night was a fucking joke. I don't want to talk about it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll move on to what was Friday. And we're all standing beside each other on Friday, and it just felt you have to fucking win this if you have any chance of winning the cup. It's similar to Galway, to be fine. If you cannot be dropped away, you may throw your cap at it. But there was also the element of we had won 3 previous encounters against Trotter, and you're just thinking this is going to be fucking the one they beat us in. Dodgy way.
Yeah, I worried about the game all week. But walking into the windmill and seeing so many happy Bohemian faces, cheerful before the game, turned that right around. There just seemed to be a mood of optimism around it, and I think that carried through. Like, the team, they started the game well. They were up for it. They matched Drogheda. And I think we ran out comfortable enough. I know they scored the goal and they had their little spell, but we reacted very well to the goal, and I just thought we were too strong for them all over the pitch. And we finished the game really strong as well. So I thought it was a fantastic win, a great win, and really put us in good stead now for the next couple of games. So I was delighted with that on Friday.
It was comfortable, but it was also very nervy as well at times. I thought, like, the start of the second half, but even after 2-1, they had another spell. Remember they got that free kick outside the edge of the box? It was Casper gave the ball away to Markey directly.
Yeah, that was all our own doing, that really crazy pass from Casper, that one, you know.
I thought we defended set pieces very well.
Yeah.
On Friday. I thought Novak was great defending our box, like.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we dictated the game.
Afanobi and Clark are the difference. Like,
yeah, Clark is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable, like, you know. Yeah. But no, I thought it was a very strong performance. As I said, the two boys at the back dictated. We were good in midfield. We kept the ball. We created plenty of chances. Dylan Connolly, you know, never stopped running. So, yeah, no, I was delighted with that on Friday, I have to say.
Yeah,
love Connolly's to see him get a goal soon enough.
Yeah. The only problem is going up there, you know, a week after we have such a good win up there, it's so difficult to win in the same venue 2 weeks in a row. So that'd be the only concern for Friday. But Rogs looked a little bit leggy, and I spoke to a couple of people from the Drog side. If they reckon their part-time thing tends to catch up with them this time of the season, they might be running out of gas a little bit. So that could be the problem for them, because I was not that I was disappointed in Drogheda, but I thought they would have been better. I thought they would have got at us a little bit more than they did. So, more the same on Friday, please.
So if you take Darren Markey out of that team, they're incredibly average.
Yeah, like, smashing player, isn't he?
Bar Markey, they offer very little. If take him out of that team, but he's someone I'd love to sign. Love to have him next year.
Yeah, I think they part time, isn't it? That's the word.
They must have a full time day,
decent job by all accounts.
Day job,
yeah.
Every time he got the ball, he looked like he was gonna. He was always free, like he always had so much space, like
whatever. Everything went through him
with his movement. Every time he got the ball, he was always on the half turn. He could always turn into space, like
But even looking at them when they were breaking, if he wasn't involved in it, you were nearly saying we're okay here.
Yeah, Adam Foley and Ryan Brennan wouldn't have spoken for them. Like. Yeah,
Adam Foley has had his day in the sun. I wouldn't be worried about him anymore. But good win and. We roll on. First away win since we beat them before.
Yeah.
Back in April, was it?
It was due. Absolutely. And probably, as you said, touch on there, Dylan Connolly's performance. I think he's probably been one of our best players the last number of weeks since we signed Danny Grant. He seemed to have a bit of a kick up his arse.
I'd love to see Connolly get a goal. I think he needs a goal. Like, he deserves a goal.
Yeah.
Definitely deserves a goal.
I'd say his stats probably, like, in terms of goals and assists,
I don't think he has any.
Blow players away.
I don't think he has either.
But God, he pulled them all over the place, and he never stopped running. He blocked them. He stopped them from getting out. He created space for Afolabi. I thought he was fantastic.
He's a defensive winger.
Yeah. Really good. Really good. And as I said, he leaves it all out on the pitch, and delighted with him.
I don't think Grant is fully fit yet.
Yeah, we're just going to touch on the other side of the wing there as well. Yeah. Danny Grant, obviously, he's coming in. It looks like the boy's trying to play him at the farm more than anything else.
Yeah, he hasn't. He played very little in 3 years, and then he came off came on off the bench twice, and then he was straight in. Like,
won us 4 points in those two substitute appearances.
Yeah, we won two penalties in the first two games he came on, didn't he? But he doesn't look fully fit. Like, I wouldn't mind maybe taking him out this Friday just to give him a rest. I don't know. Like, he doesn't look as sharp. Obviously, he won't be as sharp as he was when he left us, but I don't think he's fully fit. I think he could be struggling a small bit. Like,
next
take on it. Like, he's done well in patches, but.
Yeah, and that's what he will do probably between now and the end of the season.
Yeah,
probably
I think next year will be a much bigger year for him. Like,
next year will be the big one for him when he has a full preseason under his belt. And
we'll touch on the two lads up front, of course. Obviously, there was links of Afolabi and McManus heading out the door. I suppose a few offers came in for to prepare them for the transfer window when England closed in Saudi Arabia, of course, probably sniffing about. But looks like we're going to lose those two potentially in the offseason. I know they've opened their contract, but we could also lose our new star boy, our number 10, James Fleck. I think this is a player that we've seen in quality come off the bench. It was just a matter of can he produce when he started. He was given a couple of chances, never really pulled up any trees when he started. But then an injury to Ali Kew, and then McDonald goes in. But Clark sort of just pushes way back into that starting 11. And we're seeing as good of a player as I've seen, someone able to just pick up the ball up in the halfway line, right toward the edge into the opponent's half.
Like, just his style is so unorthodox. I've never seen a player be able to take the ball on the half turn and move so freely. He just changes from defence into attack so effortlessly. He was absolutely fantastic on Friday, and I worried a little bit about him on Friday going back to his old club. Sometimes for younger lads, it doesn't work out going back to their old club. But Jesus, he was brilliant. Like, he was at the forefront of everything we done well on Friday night. Like, if he plays like that between now and the end of the season, we have a chance in every game we play him, because he will just create so much space. He'll create so many chances. and he'll just get us playing. He was a joy to watch on Friday night. You know, it's not often that McManus is showing up in the middle of the park, but he took all the credit on Friday night. He was absolutely superb.
I have to hold my hand up about Clark. I was at the start of the season saying he's not good enough. He's only an impact player off the bench. He's much better suited to come off the bench. It shows how much I know anyway. But the turnaround, he's outrageous. Like, he's some of the things he was doing on Friday night were he took one turn, took three of their players out of the game. Like, Greg Malloy put it back up on Twitter. It's fucking outrageous. Like, but I don't think he's gonna be with us for too much longer.
Put for the second goal as well, and just the turn.
Yeah, even before, just after the second goal, he played Afolabian again. Similar enough, Afolabian just left a bit too much on it, but he's unbelievable. The two of them, they have a great understanding together. Like,
yeah,
I think them two will be the difference if we're going to get to the Aviva.
Yeah, that's going
to
be the two ball in the middle of the park between now and the end of the season. That's not going to change. Any big game we play, the two of them have to play. Simple as that.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You imagine how to say at the start of the season, Ali Q, after the first six games, Ali Q probably won't kick a ball for the rest of the season.
Yeah, John O'Sullivan won't kick a ball, and McManus
he hasn't kicked the ball.
McClure.
But the start of the season, Ali the start up the start of the season, Ali Q have.
Yeah.
Decided.
Yeah, Q just comes across a bit of a moody boy, polar player nearly.
I didn't like his body language last night in that game. I thought he was walking around thinking he was too good to be there. Now he came alive a bit in the second half, but. In the first half, I was looking at him just going, his body language is all wrong. He should be out there breaking his bollocks, trying to fucking show Devine he can get back into the team. But he was like, I thought in the first half last night, it's like he's walking around sulking.
Yeah, I think he has his move lined up for next season, and he's given up really. You know, he's not going to kill himself at this stage. The shame, because I mean, you could probably get something out of him between now and the end of the season, but I wouldn't trust Ali Coop between now and the end of the season. Just as you said, the body language doesn't seem right, and he doesn't seem to want the bat enough. I think he's either elsewhere. I think we all know where he's going to end up. So if he can do something between now and the end of the season, I'll be it. But I don't think he'll get too many opportunities.
Yeah, I suppose that'll pin down to Clark staying fit. He's actually hopping on drinks now, but there hasn't been too many knocks up front, thankfully. But just hope it's not another season where the two lads up top borne out towards the end of the season. And, one of them pulling muscle with a few weeks to go before the final.
Yeah.
Like Georgie Kelly did in 2021. But, I think that's going to be very vital to how we finish the end of the season. Afolabi, goal machine.
Yeah, they're at the forefront of it. Obviously, Clark, McManus, Big John, they're leading the charge. But Talbot's returned to form. The boys at the back look a little bit more solid. The only concern I'd have really is the fullback position, for the run-in would be whether it's Flores or Kirk, and then Bucco obviously playing right full. He'll give you everything, we know that, but just sometimes with the opportunity to break on Friday night, and just Bucco, he seems to slow things down a little bit. He's not bad on the ball, but he's not a natural fullback that's going to get up the line, cross a ball over and make a couple of goals, you know?
He obviously just doesn't fancy Bart at all, does he? Like,
yeah, he wasn't great last night, was he? He put a little bit... I know it's hard to judge him in that game.
Draw it at home. That's the only game he started, is it?
Yeah.
So, I didn't think
he looked alright when he came on in a few games, but.
But I think he looked alright when we were chasing games going forward. We were chasing games when he came on. I think he looked a bit better when, we've the possession, but.
Yeah.
Like, that draw of the game, he really looked frail defensively. I know, similarly enough, these players have to get used to the league, and maybe they need to be played into form, but can't really play a defender into form. If you're not good enough, you can't play.
We don't have the time now. Every game between now and the end of the season is a huge, huge game. Like, we don't have games to play where we can change players. It's full tilt between now and the end of the middle of October, right up to the cup final if we get there, please God. So, starting on Friday, it's a huge game. Like, you'd ideally like to shift it around and make a few changes, but I don't think we can afford to do it, especially with Shells at home to Cork, Pats are home to Dundalk. So,
might be preemptive to say here, but I wouldn't like to see Buck out right full in the Aviva against a Jake Mulroney or someone like that. I wouldn't like to see that. Like,
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll move on from Drogheda. I suppose we'll get to the game that was last night, Provincial Championship of Ireland. Thanks for seeing our Cup Champions of the World, man.
We're back.
We're back.
Back.
Mr. Sheen is out.
Trying to shake a reputation of being sex offenders and sexual crimes, and we've 3,000 people turning up at the Leinster Senior Cup final. Don't do ourselves any favours, really, do we?
No, the alleged paedophile allegations, they all come to fruition with stuff like this, don't they?
Yeah, Bolt and Russell Brand up in the dock now next week. One for having 3,000 charges, one for having 3,000 people at a cup final at the Leinster Senior.
A charge each.
Yeah.
Good
to see a bit of silverware. It is what it is. Like a serious gate, a couple of bob, a few bob in the bar, so it's all good. It's all good. Cian Byrne looked like he enjoyed himself as well. So, all positive there, you know.
Yeah.
Luke, you were there, were you?
I was, yeah. I was indeed. Yeah. I'm allowed to get out on the Monday night, Peter, like yourself.
Has anyone stand out to you? The two centre-halves, I suppose, Altman.
The right full was very good. The 19th lad, I don't know his name. He got the first goal.
Yeah, McCormick, I think it is.
He was excellent. He was excellent. I thought Tordek was decent. Like, as he should have been. Like, Cian Byrne. I like Cian Byrne. Dennison done well anytime he had to do stuff. That Usher sound, the keeper, was brilliant.
Yeah. Jordan Cookie was the best player on the pitch.
Made some great saves.
For sure.
I was surprised he went so strong. Like,
the interview. There's a lot of people need games, need minutes. You know what I mean?
Billy Gilmore. He's a serious player as well.
Yeah,
he was excellent. It's in Devine, he was picking him up after the game.
He could be the next one. Him and McManus goes to fill in that youthful spot in the centre of the park. You know, we've been blessed over the last few years with that position. In France, you know, we'd lost Tierney come in, Dawson Devoy come in, then we have McManus come in, and possibly young Billy Gilmore. Not on loan from Chelsea, playing in that position.
I think McManus is the best out of a lot of them, isn't he? You know, I'd have him over Dawson all day long. Like,
yeah, I was only asking the lads that about the other day. Yeah, Dawson or McManus.
I think McManus seems to, you know, a bit more of a shabby player. He sort of just likes to recycle the ball and make sure he holds on to possession. Where I think Dawson always wanted to find the killer ball. McManus keeps us taking over. Well, Dawson was like, well, when I look up, can I see anything that's going to fucking put that they can put through here? And I suppose, as we look ahead to this weekend and double header, it's getting busy again.
Two huge games.
Strugged away, of course, on Friday, and Jedburn at home on Monday. I think you're going via Munich to Drogheda, are you?
Yeah, Munich, Drogheda, Daily Mount. So, busy few days.
I suppose we'll probably expect to see a similar enough team that played on Friday in the Cup again this coming Friday.
Unless there's a few knocks. But, same team again. It's another big, big game. You know, there's no room for error there, the way the results have gone the last few weeks in the league. So, we need to get back and win in ways. We can't put all our eggs in the basket for the Cup, so we need to get a win on Friday, you know, because Shells...
I fancy Shells to beat Cork, so I think we definitely need
Cork,
to win.
Yeah.
Like, just if Shells were to win, we were only to draw. Imagine how up for they'd be on Monday night, like...
Yeah.
I think it's must win, like, really is. Even a win
I think
Friday,
we need 4 points out of the next two games just
Friday,
to keep it ticking over.
You take a draw against them on Monday night, like, and then they're up in Tala next Friday, so they're going to drop points for a week. We could beat... So if we're to beat Drogheda tomorrow night, Shells beat Cork, we get a draw against, even take a draw against them on Monday, they'll lose on Tala next Friday if we beat Sligo. We're out of sight for them, really.
Yeah.
With four or five games
Dundalk.
Left.
Pat's Dundalk as well. So
I think Dundalk are finished. I wouldn't worry about them. They're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pat's,
unless they fucking, he wants a reaction out of them after the Galway horror show, but I'd fancy Pat. I'll be back in Pat's to beat Dundalk all day long there. But funnily enough, I was actually reading a few fucking Pats fans saying on Twitter that their performances have been shite. They've been grinding out results. But they've been shite, apparently, since before Europe. So I don't think Pats are as good as people are making them out to be either.
Yeah, we're thereabouts with them. Like, if we put a string of wins together, no one else seems to be doing it, you know? So three or four wins and you're nearly there. I mean, what's left? How many games have we got left?
Next four games are very winnable.
Yeah, so win on Friday. Take a point against Shells. Worst case scenario. I mean, we could do Shells as well. I think we've Sligo coming up. We've UCD coming up. Pats are going to take 12 points. Pats are home as well. So, yeah.
Second best home record in the league. So, we think we've got four of our last seven are at home. One of them is obviously Shells, Sligo, Pats and
Cork.
I mean, I'm thinking 16 points would be enough to get fourth place, 18 to 20. I don't know, like, to be getting 18 points out of 21 of your last 7 games, you should be coming toward.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. 100% you'd be coming third. If you get 18 out of 21, you'll definitely come third.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking what'll be enough for fourth. I know, look, because I know also Pat's coming third and fourth. Maybe Shells won't get fourth. Cannot imagine Shells getting fourth place. But I just think that we need to really capitalise on our home games. UCD away has to be a 3 point. We can't no slip ups out there this time. We can't fucking go to the UCD bowl and not get full, not get these 4 points out of six throughout the season. Expect to get you up.
I think we'll have a fair idea where we stand by close of business on Monday after the Shells game. We'll have played Drogheda and we will have played Shells, and Shells will have played us and we'll have played Cork. And Pat's who Pat's got Monday? Anyone know?
No, I don't think they do. Do they have?
I think it's only us. It's only two.
Don't do reschedule games. Oh, that's
only
right.
Two yeah, games yeah. on Monday.
Not yeah. a full round. Okay, so as I said, we'll have a fair idea where Shells are. Come the end of the game on Monday night in Daily Mill. So. We regroup and go from there.
Yeah,
but four I think... points. I think 4 points is the minimum, because I think Shells will get three against Cork one way or the other. So we need to be getting a minimum of four over the next two games.
Yeah,
keep it at arm's length, you know.
Yeah,
we have, as I said, Pats, Sligo, UCD coming up. The points there to be got as well, you know.
Have to be beating Sligo. Sligo are a fucking cat. We have to be beating them next Friday. Yeah. I think you want to be winning their next four home games, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, no reason why we can't.
10, but to 10, minimum 10 out of 12 if you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be doing it. Hopefully, please God, we'll come out with at least 4 points out this weekend. Again, going into the following weekend. Between your home games for the rest of the season. And win away to UCD. A draw against Drogheda. That'd be a fantastic end of the season. Of course, win down in Galway. I think it'd be a good time to just hit a bit of form going into the crucial end, just to show. No, this team has got a pair of bollocks.
Yeah, well, the form is good. I mean, like, I think, well, when you include the Leinster Senior Cup, I think we've only lost 1-11 with Antalya. Sligo game, 11 games played since then. The only game we lost was Antalya. So I know there's quite a few draws in there, but you know, we're hard to beat to a certain extent, you know. But yeah, we're kind of hitting form is probably the best way I can sum it up, you know.
Yeah, I think we've now got our starting 11. Finally, after all the games, I think the Devoyne has probably put down a starting 11. I hope Tim McManus back in the squad more often than not. I think Flores positionally was caught out on Friday against Markey several times. Even, you know, that's just a swipe. I know it looked like a theatrical dive from Brennan, but me, I think it's still a penalty.
Oh, the penalty all day long. Well, that's not a penalty. You can't swipe like that, you know what I mean? But yeah, like as I said earlier on in the pod, the two full back positions are the only worry, you know. Now you will get quite a lot out of Bucco and you will get quite a lot out of Flores, but we need two proper out and out full back. It just hasn't happened for Kirk this year between injuries and form a little bit. So
Kirk's been very inconsistent. I think he hasn't played two good games on the bounce, has he? Like
started off well.
I always think there's no in between with Kirk. He's either really, really good, or really, really poor. Like,
yeah, I think he's good, he came into a bit more against even like he got taken off against Rovers that time, but I don't think he was even bad. I think the volume looked like he maybe wanted to change it up a little bit more.
I thought he was decent enough in the first half actually against Rovers.
Yeah, so I didn't think he'd done anything overly wrong. Done all right against Derry and even Pat's week before, so he's now injured and he's rolled his ankle. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. You'd like to think that he'd be back for sooner rather than later to give us that option. And
we're lucky that we have a squad there. The Flores can go in there, Bucco can go in. Quite full as well, so like it's not panic stations, but as I said, I'd say in the off season we'd be looking for two seriously strong fullback. That'd be the next piece of the jigsaw. Really.
Recent years we've been so strong with fullbacks. Now this year we're kind of very limited. Like, are we probably actually? Can we say we have an out and out right back? Would you call Bart? Like, he's only played once, so
he played left full last night.
Like, obviously Paddy Kirk's our only. Left full,
fell from the 19's gone away, gone to
Adewale.
Yeah, Lecce, Adewale, is it?
Yeah.
So it'll be
get Tyreek Wilson back.
Yeah,
fucking hell.
I see he's been bombed by Shells as well now. Oh, he's a Poor, poor player.
At Lawn or Bluebell is his next port of call.
Yeah. You'll be playing with Jordan on the five sides now, Nick.
Yeah.
Could do. We're fucking stuck for a few players again. suppose as a wrap up, but before we give the score prediction, I'm just going to ask you, remaining season, where the Bohemians finish in the league table?
I think we'll finish fourth. I think Pats will probably just do enough to hold us off. But we need to be making sure we're finishing fourth. We can't be finishing fifth, and we need to have the cushion down the cup final. So, yeah, I think we'll finish fourth. And I think we'll win the cup.
Yeah. And Luke, you cup, do you think it's there for us?
I really do think it's there for us this year. If it's not this year, it will be never. Never.
No. Your club in the country that has invested in the FAI Cup, but it's had as much turmoil in the FA Cup as us, FAI Cup in the last couple of years. Like, it's all or nothing with us, isn't it? The Cup. We
yeah,
just
really
absolutely
is.
Fucking love it.
Our hearts
absolutely
and souls,
dying for it. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not this year, it's never.
Yeah. I think the now or never.
Honestly, don't even enter the fucking thing if you don't win it this year. Next year, don't even fucking enter it.
Yeah,
what United done a few years ago when they played in that fucking Club World Cup. Just blank the whole thing.
Yeah. After we got beaten by Pats, I couldn't so far get that again this year. That would send me fucking into it. If this happened again this year, that would send me the mental issues. I have no doubt about it. If I was fucking lucky to even make it today, like, that was fucking literally the most depressing. I've had family members die, I've had fucking friends die, and I can tell you now, I've never felt as bad as I did after we lost that fucking Cup final.
The Shells last year was no picnic either.
I was happy to go out because we were sick of the players that stage. We lost the cup the year previous anyway, so I had actually no interest in the FAI Cup last year. Like, I was fucking once I got beaten in the finals, I don't want to do this competition ever again.
Yeah. On the Monday after the Pats game and they beat us in the cup, I fucking woke up. So I need to fucking go for a pint here, but it wasn't going to be local just in case someone said something to me. So I went to a pub in Temple Oak. Fucking, he was the first person I seen when I walked in. Fucking Danny Mandrew. So I was no fucking let up to this fucking misery. Fucking disgrace.
Fuck's sake.
No, Danny,
honestly, I think if it's not this year, it's never.
Yeah. I woke up the Monday morning of the cup final, sitting in the box room in Danny's gaff, in my underpants, dark naked, not even hungover because I actually went home about 10 o'clock. I just hadn't got it in me. I couldn't actually stomach a drink. Woke up. Literally couldn't go to work for a week. I was just that depressed down my head. So hopefully, please God, this year, this will be the year the Bohemians lift that trophy. And I think we're due it. I think we will do it. I think we'll come short of the league.
For sure. If there's any sort of footballing gods looking down on us, we'll have our day in the sun this year, please God.
Devine has history with the FAI Cup as well.
Absolutely.
He's won it before. And I suppose we'll wrap up here, lads. I get a quick prediction ahead of the double header on Friday. On Monday.
Drogheda nil, Bowes 1.
Yeah.
Bowes 1, Shelburne, the Arsenal Fan TV, Twitter Brigade of Ireland 0.
Luke?
I think 2-0 Friday. And I'm not going to be as optimistic as Pete. I think 1-1 draw against Shelburne at home.
Well, I'm going to drop my big Bohemian bollocks on the table. I'm going to say 2-1
fucking
on Friday.
Fucking no, by me bollocks actually, we'll beat Shelburne 1-0. Take it back.
I think we'll beat Chelsea. We're due to beat them in the league. They're resilient, but I think now we touched on the offer. F&G is one massive section now. I think the club are just really half happy to take the slap on the wrist in the FAI fine-wise every week for the steps being followed, whatever like that. But the real atmosphere that I think we've seen that in the last game in the 80 months.
Yeah, I'm getting a dispensation to get out on a Monday night as well. So we'll have the place rocking on Monday night.
Yeah, I think we'll have plenty in the stands on the pitch to get over the line. I'm predicting 6 points. We'll let ourselves clear Shelbourne in third place or in fourth place from fifth. And I think it'll be very much like Frankel in the flats running in for the last few furlongs. I think Bohemians will ramp home with the FAI Cup victory.
Please, God.
Come on, Bowes.
Come on, Bowes. Anyway, lads, as I said, we finish up every week. Come on, the fucking Bowes.
It's Friday, lads.
Come on, Bowes. Let's go. Take it easy, boys.
We don't care if it's home or away. We are the Bowes, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again.